Well, I'm a poor rich man, rich in faith and hope and love. I'm glad for those things, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Certainly is good to be in God's house tonight. Good to be in revival. And I appreciate the opportunity to come together and lift up the name above every name and worship Him in spirit and in truth. My, we are certainly, certainly blessed people to have a place to gather together, congregate, assemble ourselves, and worship Him. Amen. We are blessed people. We forget about it sometimes, and we don't really realize how blessed that we are. But there are multitudes that would love to have this opportunity. That's right. There are people in hell that would love to have this opportunity. We're very, very blessed to be here tonight. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Amos, chapter number 6. Book of Amos, chapter number 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture that I want to read from tonight. Beginning in verse number 1, I'll read these six verses quickly here if I can. Some of these names here I won't be able to pronounce correctly, but I'll do my best. We'll struggle through it here. Amos, chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calne and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. They are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. I'd like to preach tonight from these verses. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. Very simple thought tonight. I want to preach on an enemy called ease. An enemy called ease. I think that most of us would agree there is a tragic sense of ease in American society. Multitudes are basking in an abundance tonight. In America, there was a time when people felt the need for God. But we are poor people. We're working people. Most of us here are really, you know, we are poor folks. But on the scales or in comparison to some countries, some third world countries, we are rich. We are very rich. And so in the American culture that we live in this society that we live in, there are multitudes that are basking in abundance. They're basking not only in abundance of prosperity and wealth as far as monetary things and money and houses and lands, but one of the most tragic things is that America is basking in an abundance of sensuality and sin. Have you noticed that people have become desensitized concerning sin? Their minds, I feel, are dense in a place where they're feeling no threat from God. They feel no threat of damnation for their immoral lives, their iniquity-laden lives that they're living day by day. People are just at ease in this world. They're just going on. You know, the Bible talked about the last days. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And then he gives us a description of what kind of world it's going to be like to live in the last days. People would be eating, drinking, giving in marriage. This world is plagued with pleasure, banqueting and merriment and feasting. You know, when you look at the world, they are at ease. There's people that really feel like they're going to live forever. They don't feel like there's a hereafter or a judgment, certainly that is hereafter. And you've noticed in recent years how the mentality of our youth, no fear, you see it plastered on the back of a vehicle or some kind of sticker in the window. They say they have no fear of what's to come. It's because the world is living in a sense of ease. But you know, this ease that is in the world, isn't that to be expected? Because we're in the last days. And so I could say that is unexpected ease. We expect that from the world, for people to, you know, live their lives like row, row your boat and gently down the stream, and life is but a dream. There's no judgment, no hell, no God, no threat. They can live and do whatever, let their flesh run wild, their passions run wild, and they feel as though that they die. And that's the end of it. My wife had a family member several years ago that told my father and mother-in-law, said, well, I've read the Bible through several times, and I've come to the conclusion that when you die, you're just a dead duck. So my mother-in-law said, well, was you a Christian when you read the Bible through? He said, well, no. But people just live on in ease. Their mind's at ease. Their heart is ease. They vote in the world according to their pocketbook and what it's going to do for them. And we're living in the last of the last days. But this ease, these people that bask in prosperity and sensuality and sin and go right on at a breakneck speed toward hell, that ease that they have, no fear of judgment or damnation or wrath. They don't feel like they're going to be held accountable for their sin. That sense of ease that is in the world, that's to be expected. But oh, what an indictment it is for the church to be at a place where they are feeling that same tragic sense of ease that has settled down among the people that call themselves the people of God. And I feel that is what Amos here, the prophet, is trying to address when he talks about those that are at ease in Zion. Amen. Those that call themselves the children of God or the people of God. Amen. The prophet here wasn't talking about those that were just, you know, heathens or those that were away from God, but these were the people of Israel that were trusting in other things. I mean, even though they were looking toward Zion, and even though maybe there was a sense of worship in their heart, but yet their lives were full of sin. And really what the prophet was saying was, these people know that they're doing wrong, and they know that there is sin in their life, but they want to continue to worship God and not be judged for their sin. They want to be told about their wrongdoings and their evil imaginations and the things that are, you know, hindering them in their life. And so he is saying, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Amen. That trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named among the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. And notice verse number 3, ye that put far away the evil day. Judgment's never going to come. Wrath is never going to come. They put that far away out of their mind, and they go right on living in a state of ease. And so, you know, that is expected in the world, but it should never be in the church. Can you say amen? That spirit of ease and that mood of, you know, that laid back, nonchalant kind
of attitude, really, that's bringing a detriment to our people and a detriment to our churches. I'm telling you, it's an enemy that we're going to have to come face to face with. Really, if we gain anything in this revival, every one of us needs to look in the mirror of God's Word, look at our own heart. Don't look at your husband or your wife or your neighbor across the aisle or that rebellious son or daughter. Amen. But look at your own heart. Amen. And see if really, amen, you're being faced or attacked, amen, by this enemy called ease. One man said this. He said, we were having lunch on a Sunday afternoon at home. He was a preacher, a pastor. He said, we were entertaining the missionaries that had been our guests there for our Sunday services. After the meal that my wife had prepared, my wife and the missionaries, they were all in the living room, and I was in the kitchen doing something there. Our 3-year-old daughter named Beth was playing with our 2-year-old daughter named Jenna out in the front yard. All of a sudden, Beth Ann rushed in with a look of panic. Jenna has fallen into the pool, she said. This 2-year-old little girl had fallen into the swimming pool. Paul, the missionary, was first to the poolside. He went straight into the water. Next was my wife. By the time that I got there, the preacher said, Paul had already lifted the 2-year-old little girl out of the water, given her to the extended arms of her mother. Simultaneously, the little girl was choking, crying, coughing as she vomited up water, and the mother was holding her as she cried. All of a sudden, the wife began to cry and began to weep. The father said, I began to sweat. And for the rest of the day, he said, we couldn't embrace that little girl enough. We couldn't love on her enough. We couldn't hold her enough. We couldn't thank God enough. But he said this. He said, it was only minutes we were at ease. It was only just a few moments that we were relaxing. Amen. In our own house, in the comfort zone of our own home, and maybe only seconds into our relaxation. Amen. And all of a sudden, we almost lost her. He said, the thought was numbing to me. Not only was it numbing, but it was convicting to my heart. Amen. Because when I thought about this story, here's a mom and dad. Amen. That's doing the work of God. Amen. Here they are busy. Amen. In the things of God. Entertaining missionaries in their own home. Raising up their children in the house of God. But he said, in only a few seconds, only a few moments of relaxation, only a few seconds of ease. And he said, our two-year-old little girl, amen, almost went into eternity, falling into a swimming pool, almost drowned, amen, in just a few moments of ease, amen. But when I read this story in my own heart, Brother Randy, I thought, you know, can we really see, amen, the effects, the awful effects, amen, of just being at ease, amen, for a few moments at the wrong time, amen, and what a detriment it could be to own life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. This father, you know, here's the way he put it. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I received a divine slap. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I received a gracious thump on the head from God Almighty. He said, I guess you might call it a severe mercy. Amen. That knocked the props out from under me. It caused me to realize in my life, amen, the things that matter most. And he said, all of a sudden, amen, I came face to face, amen, with the detriment or the danger of relaxing at the wrong time. Amen. Could I say tonight, my friend, amen, that there is an enemy, amen, and it's called ease. It's an enemy that we are battling. We're battling in our homes. We're battling it in our hearts. We're battling in the ministry. Amen. In our churches across the land. Amen. It's an enemy. Amen. That is called ease. I know it's in the world. Amen. But it's expected in the world. Amen. But oh God. Amen. Have mercy. Amen. When ease. Amen. That spirit. Amen. Of carelessness and nonchalant attitude settles down, amen, in the church world. A few moments of ease at the wrong time. Now I know that in our churches, amen, when you travel from state to state, there will be times when we focus in on certain enemies. And we call them out and we expose them. Amen. And I mentioned last night, you know, about worldliness and using that term, worldly. And sometimes you can talk about somebody being worldly, and all of a sudden, you know, if we were artists and a paintbrush was put in our hand and we went to an easel and you were asked to paint somebody that was worldly or draw a depiction of somebody that was worldly, amen, and most of the time, you know, we get an image in our mind, amen, of what worldliness is. Oh God, amen, probably we'd start with the female gender and we'd draw, you know, amen, with bobbed hair and earrings and painted up like Jezebel, amen, and wearing men's attire, all those things, amen, or you might draw, amen, the picture of a man, amen, involved in pornography or plopped down in front of a ball game, amen, in our mind, amen, we got preconceived notions about what being worldly is, amen, but could I say, my friend, amen, that this spirit of ease that we're dealing with in this last day generation, amen, is just a great enemy, amen, because I've noticed something about ease, amen, it causes an interference in your relationship, amen, with God Almighty, amen, and when you are at ease in Zion, amen, when you come into the house of God, and you know your heart is not right, amen, but you're comfortable, amen, living where you're living, and you know you need to move out, and you know that you need to close in, amen, the gap, hallelujah, I tell you what it is, my friend, amen, we're being attacked, amen, not all together, amen, with jewelry, not all together with televisions, not everybody's becoming liars and adulterers, amen, but the devil, amen, is causing us to get at ease, amen, in Zion. Oh God, hallelujah. How many are sitting in our churches, amen, that are at ease tonight? Oh God, you may not have a ring on your finger, and scissors may not ever win in your hair. You may not have watched a movie in 10, 20 years. Come on now. Amen. Maybe you don't know what hell's box office is, or sin to the max ain't plugged into your house. Amen. But when we can come, amen, to the house of God, amen, or we can live our lives, amen, and be at ease in Zion, amen, and never be stirred, amen, and never be changed. You know, I noticed something about, amen, when people get a spirit of ease about them, amen, it's just like what the prophet dealt with, amen, in chapter number 6, amen, he said they're in Zion, amen, but their sins, amen, they're not even uncomfortable, amen, about the wrongdoing, amen, the day of violence, amen, we'll never come, they put away the evil day. There's some people, my friend, amen, that feel like that they can do wrong and get by, and the only reason that it is, amen, the devil, amen, has put them at ease. You know what I say? I say we better have a revival, amen, that stirs and wakes us up and knocks the sleep out of our eyes in the last of the last day, amen, and rebuke that spirit of ease. I need to preach tonight. Are y'all praying for me? Oh, hallelujah. Amen, I'm telling you, this enemy called ease is really one of the slyest agents Satan has. Praise God. And I, you know, that Jesus said that the devil came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the Bible said that we could recognize the devil as a thief. Amen. That would come and steal and kill and to destroy. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Sometimes, amen, his objective is not always to take anything from you. Amen. But to cause you to take everything for granted. Come on now. Hallelujah. I know there's been some the devil has stolen and plundered. Come on now. Amen. But sometimes he's sly. Amen. And we need to recognize his devices and not be ignorant of his traps and his schemes. And sometimes, my friend, the devil doesn't come always to take anything. Amen. But to cause us to take everything for granted. I'm telling telling you, he is on your trail, and his mission is clear, and his mission is fatal. Amen. This enemy called ease, I've watched it settle down, and it bred contempt and caused carelessness. I've seen people get at ease, and they wasted precious time and precious hours. Amen. I've seen ease settle down on them until it robbed them of the sparkle of salvation, and it replaced it, amen, with a drab feeling and a dull feeling. And everybody shout amen. Amen. One man put it like this, and he said, ease invented the yawn. Come on now. And ease put the hum in humdrum. Come on, friend. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend. Amen. We are in a warfare tonight. Amen. We are on a battleground. Amen. Down here in Keene Mountain, we're trying to have a revival. Amen. But we're going to have to rise up and be an exceeding great army. Amen. We're going to have to rise up and combat this enemy. And it's called ease. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Woe to them. This word woe is not like woe to a mule. Come on now. Or woe to some kind of beast. But this woe is a judgment. This woe means a judgment. Oh, God. Amen. Woe to them. Amen. That are at ease. That are at ease. Come on now. Amen. Maybe we could compare ourselves by ourselves. And maybe we could say, hey, amen, I look just like so-and-so. Or I'm measured up just like so-and-so. Amen. But what about your heart tonight, my friend? Amen. I noticed something about the devil. Amen. He don't just steal your salvation. Amen. All the time. I know there may be in those, amen, that were robbed of certain things. Amen. But I tell you what, I've noticed about this ease that comes in among us. Amen. The devil don't always steal our salvation. Amen. But he just puts us so at ease. Amen. Until we forget what it was like to be lost. He don't come in and steal the Holy Ghost. He just puts you so at ease until you never pray through to it. Amen. And one time in your life is enough. Amen. To get the preacher off your back. Amen. And enough to have a testimony where you can stand up and say, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He don't always steal your salvation. And he don't always steal the Holy Ghost. Amen. But he puts it at ease. Amen. At ease in our mind. And at ease in our heart. Anybody want to help this preacher here tonight? Amen. I've seen those that got so at ease until they grew accustomed. Amen. To simple prayers. Come on now. Until they never pray. I've seen ease come in and worship. Amen. Was commonplace. And it was old hat. Amen. Study was optional. And holiness was questionable. Amen. That don't ever happen. Amen. Until you allow ease to come into your mind and settle down on your heart. I don't know how y'all feel. I believe we better have a revival. I said we better wake up, amen, and realize that we're combating an enemy called ease. Oh, God. It's to be expected in the world. But it should never be in the church. You say, but Brother Kevin, aren't we allowed to have a few slow services? Well, we have some slow services, but I don't know if we're really allowed to have them or not. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, aren't we allowed to have an off night? Well, we have an off night sometimes. Amen. But I don't know if we're really allowed to have an off night. Do you want to stand in judgment and say, Lord, aren't we allowed to have a slow revival? Do you want to stand in judgment and say, Lord, wasn't I allowed to have an off night? Wasn't I allowed to have one day where I was a little bit too busy to pray? Wasn't I allowed to have one service, amen, where I didn't stand up and worship God? I'm telling you, it's an enemy called ease. Come on now. Hey man, you may not have earbobs or a TV, or you ain't been to a circus or a carnival. Hey man, you ain't cussed nobody out. You didn't steal out of the offering. Hey man, but are you at ease? I said, are you at ease? Hey man, my God. Hey man, we need the Holy Ghost. Hey man, to come by King Mountain. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there are some that in the passing of time, you have been blasted with boredom. Your experience is covered with dust. Amen. It's been years. Amen. Since hot tears has coursed your cheeks. Hallelujah. But I'm afraid that there's some that may be out of reach of change. If they don't change now, if they don't pray now, if they don't get stirred up now, it could be our last revival. It could be our last altar. And anybody shout amen. I believe it's time to rise up and get up and pray through. Hallelujah. Amen. And win over this enemy called ease. Oh God. It's one of the hardest things to combat. Because, now, Brother Daryl Meadows preached at the preacher's meeting. He preached against slamming the standard. I don't want to ever be guilty of slamming the standard. Amen. Come on now. And, you know, he mentioned how sometimes we'll say long hair and long sleeves and a long tongue. You know, and he said, it's really so true, you know what he said. What does long hair and long sleeves have to do with a long tongue? Come on now, but amen, the hypocrisy of it. Amen, I think that's what we need to address. Amen, the hypocrisy of it. Because what we do is we get feeling like, amen, that all these other things that we do, amen, substitute for worship. And all these other things that we have, amen, substitutes for prayer. Come on now. Amen. Did you know that you can be saved and busy for God, and it's easier to visit the nursing home than it is to pray? Come on now. Come on, church. Y'all gonna help me here. Amen. It's easier to, you know, it's easier to gather together. Amen. And cook flapjacks. Amen. For the guys that are working. Amen. Than it is to stand up and lift your hands. Amen. And really worship God from a whole heart. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Kevin? Amen. I'm saying that if we are not careful, amen, it's not all together. Amen. That the devil takes anything, amen, from us. Amen. But we sit on pews and take everything for granted. Amen. He didn't always steal our salvation. Amen. But we get so at ease until we forget. Amen. To look back toward the pit. Amen. From whence we were dead. Amen. And what mercy it was that we were even clothed in our right mind. And anybody shout amen. I said we can't afford. Amen. To be at ease. I said we can't afford. Amen. To be at ease. Amen. Whoa. Amen to them that are at ease in Zion. Oh God. Lord, help me tonight. Oh God. Amen. Praise God. Abraham Lincoln, one time, he was approached by a mother. Randy, you probably read this. This mother pleaded with Abraham Lincoln to pardon her son, who had been a soldier and was sentenced to hang by the rope, by the neck, until dead. He was guilty. The sentence was upon him to be hanged by the neck until dead. And that mother went to Abraham Lincoln and pleaded for his pardon. Begged the President of the United States, oh, please don't let my son die, amen, this cruel death by hanging. Amen. Please pardon him and allow him, amen, to be set free. Come on now. Amen. The President agreed to set this man free. And he pardoned that soldier. And he was set free from the sentence of death. Amen. But it was told that President Lincoln said himself, amen, I wish we could give him just a little bit of hanging. Come on here. Oh, God. Amen. That story I told you about this father. Amen. That has a 2-year-old baby. And she's gasping. And she's coughing. And she's vomiting up water. You know what that was? That's a little bit of hanging. Come on now. Amen. Something to arouse him. Amen. Something to stir him. Amen. That's what we might need in this revival. Amen. I'm not getting come. Amen. To be a prophet of doom. I ain't asking God. Amen. To bring a calamity or a tragedy. Amen. But it would be a severe mercy if God would give us a little hanging until we'd find ourselves. Amen. Back in an altar. Amen. If God would give us a little hanging until we'd find ourselves the prayer warrior that we one time were. If God would give us a little hanging and we'd have a revival until we'd worship God like we know He's worthy. And anybody shout amen. I'm telling you, it's ease. That's all it is. It's a spirit of ease. We better drive it out. We better stand up and go to war. Amen. This enemy called ease, it'll take you over and pull you down and take you out and send your soul to hell. Whoa! Judgment is coming to those that are at ease and Zion. Just a little bit of hanging. Come on now. Oh God. You know what that stirring feels like? Do you know what that conviction feels like in our heart? Did you know there are people that look at me in congregations all across this world? Not all across the world, but the world, that places I go. But there's people that look at me and they really think, I guess, they don't have the slightest idea what I'm talking about. They're so at ease. They're so at ease. Come on now. The Bible said, in the days of Noah, they knew not when the flood came. How many's ever been in the flood? How many's ever seen a flood? Pray tell, how could you not know when a flood is coming? Number one, it just didn't spring up from nowhere, but it was raining already. Come on, that's what caused the flood. Can anybody shout amen? It seemed like to me, amen, that if it's raining 40 days and 40 nights, amen, you ought to know, amen, that the flood's coming. But they didn't even know the flood was coming. Come on now. Amen, brother, I'm telling you, there's an enemy, amen, that is called ease. And we are so at ease right now until I'm afraid the devil has scored again in many homes that have been brought to misery, in many ministries that have been brought to shame. Amen. There's been many youth that have been devoured. And it wasn't because they were fornicating. Amen. Or putting on class rings or cutting their hair. It was because they got at ease. And they sung in the choir. And they sat on a church pew. And they heard the pastor preach. And in their mind, amen, they put away the evil day. Hallelujah. It's an enemy called ease. My God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Churches, amen, are making those gentle concessions in 1 degree at a time. Amen. They're getting colder and colder. Oh, God. And Brother Randy mentioned Leonard Ravenhill's book, Sodom Had No Bible. Amen. And here we are. How many churches is on this road? How many churches is from the county line to here? Come on now. Amen. Why aren't, amen, the pews full? Come on now. Amen. I wonder, maybe is it because, amen, that we have set a bad example and they walked in the back door and said it don't look like they're interested and it don't look like they're enthused and it don't look like they're praying. Amen. Why should we pray? Amen. There's no worship in them. Why should there be any worship in me? I'm telling you, my friend, amen, in this story, amen, the Father said, when we got a hold of her, amen, amen, we held her. And could I tell you, my friend, you better get your coughing, choking, dying experience and pull it in near to your bosom and tell the Lord, I'm sorry for relaxing at the wrong time. I'm sorry for being at ease in the last day. that casual shrug of the shoulder. Oh, God. Amen. One thing Satan causes to happen is that foe of familiarity. Come on now. Until we hold our experience with God so loosely, until it drowns and it falls into the cesspool of this world. Amen. Oh God, some of these worldly things that I've mentioned, amen, some of that starts with just being at ease. Come on now. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read something to you. I'm just about done. I tell you, I wish I could preach to you tonight. Amen. But it may be somebody needs a little bit of hanging here. I'm not asking God to take nobody out. I'm not asking God. Amen. But if you could look real close, you'd see a rope burn right here. Come on here, church. I said, if you look real close, you see a rope burn right here. Yeah, come on now. Where God gave me just a little bit of hanging until all of a sudden I realized, amen, what I just about lost. Amen, until what I got careless about. And I'd forgotten about the things that matter most, amen, in life, which is my experience with God and the presence of the Lord. Amen, let me read something to you here real quick in Ezekiel chapter number 23. Amen, moreover this day they have done to me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbath. We used to kind of sin a little bit every day, and now they're doing it all in one day. They've committed adultery, blood's in their hands, and with idols they've committed adultery, and have caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass through the fire to devour them. This have they done unto me. They defiled my sanctuary in the same day. They profaned my Sabbath. For when they had slain their children to idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary. Come on now. They killed their children, and in the same day they went to church. Are y'all getting this? I want you to think about this. They committed such horrible crimes. Have you ever wondered how people can get on up in the choir? Have you ever wondered how people can get on up in the pulpit? Have you ever wondered how people can, run to the front and shout? Come on now. It's because, amen, they're taking everything for granted. They've forgotten what it was to be lost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Their mind, amen, is such at ease, amen, that they put away, amen, the evil day, the judgment, amen, of God Almighty is nowhere near. Amen. They slain their children to the idols, and then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. Furthermore, you have sent for me to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, painted thy eyes, and decked thyself with ornaments, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil, and a voice of a multitude being at ease was with her. Committing adultery. Come on now. And with the men of common sort. Oh God. All of this was going on. Amen. And nobody was troubled about it. Nobody was stirred about it. Nobody seemed, amen, that we needed a revival or needed to repent, amen, or pray for or beg God for mercy, amen. But there was a voice in the multitude, amen, being at ease was with her, amen. You know what the result of being at ease is, amen, a spiritual adultery. Oh God, amen. Isaiah 32:9, amen, it talked about the women that were at ease. But Brother Randy, it said this, it said there'll be no vintage, and there would be no gathering, and there would be no harvest. Is there anybody in this house, amen, that'd like to see a harvest? Would you like to see a gathering? Would you like to see a vintage? Amen, we can't be at ease, amen, and have it. We better wake up and rise up and pray through, amen, and overcome this enemy called ease. Let me read this to you. Oh, God. Being relaxed at the wrong time. But I'm just going to tell you, if you're not praying, it's the wrong time to be not praying. If you're getting careless, sir, it's the wrong time to be getting careless. If Granny all of a sudden, what you told Johnny and Susie when they was in your house, and now Johnny and Susie's got their own children, and you're easing up, it's the wrong time to be easing up. If there was a time when you were faithful, and all of a sudden, there's been a nonchalant spirit that settled down over you, and everything else has become more important, and God is bumped on the shelf, and everything else has taken priority, it's the wrong time to get your priorities out of order. I said, it's the wrong time. Is there anybody in this house? Oh, I tell you, we need the kind of conviction, amen, that fell the day when Jonathan Edwards talked about sinners in the hands of an angry God, and they fell until they had grasped the pillars, until they felt they were going to slide into an eternal hell. But we're living in a world that says there ain't no hell. Amen. We got thousands of churches, amen, that don't even believe in hell. Amen. Our pulpits are full of preachers, amen, that never even mention hell. But there is a hell. I don't want to go. You don't have to go. It ain't God's will for us to go. But we will go if we don't pray through. If we don't straighten up. If we don't wake up. It's an enemy called ease. I can't put a finger on your life. Maybe there's nothing external that brings evidence that you're cold and lukewarm. But if you're at ease, God's liable to give you a little bit of hanging until the props are knocked out from under you and you start realizing what matters most in life. This is what matters most. Like that revival I preached not too long ago, and a guy bought a brand new lawnmower and he decided to try it out one night during revival. Or maybe like the other guy that knew the church was in revival because it had been announced and announced and announced. But somebody from out of state came through unexpected and called him and say, hey, why don't we go down and frequent this certain restaurant that's real good? And so he missed revival and didn't just take him, took his whole family and went out to eat. What causes people to do that? It's not that they're mad at the preacher. It's not that they don't like the color of the carpet. It's not that it's too hot in here or too cold. The reason they do that is because they're at ease. And they put away the evil day. It's out of their mind. They forget that we're on our way to judgment. When we come to church, we're on our way to judgment. And when we miss church, we're on our way to judgment. When we pray, we're on our way to judgment. And when we don't pray, we're on our way to judgment. When we come and we don't lift up our hands and worship God, amen, and gave his own life, amen, and gave his all, and all he's asking is that we come, amen, and worship him, amen. You know what causes that? It's an enemy called ease. And it's settled down over our minds. And that's what we're combating at King Mountain. It may not be jewelry or television or movies, or it may be all of them, but if we'll take care of ease, if we'll combat that enemy called ease, and we'll get back to praying and living holy and sanctified before God, we'll have a revival. I said we'll have a move of God. Amen. We'll have a harvest. We'll have a vintage. We'll have a gathering, but we can't do it being at ease. If somebody walked in those back doors right now, demon possessed, there is a majority of people that would not know what to do because they know themselves they have not prayed. Somebody demon possessed, everybody looks for the preacher. Come on now. We're at ease. Y'all think I'm whipping you tonight, don't you? Oh, God. I've been praying all day, Lord. I want to preach it right, but I want to have a right spirit. Oh, God. Come on now. Amen. Where are you? Are you relaxing? Are you at ease? It's the wrong time. It's the wrong time to be at ease. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, taking a break from the weed eater. I'm not talking about taking a break from the dishes. I'm not talking about asking for a Saturday off at work. I'm talking about in our spiritual life. When we get so at ease. So at ease. This is it. One more scripture. I'm going to give us time to pray tonight. One more scripture. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much. I don't need preaching like that. I have much. I don't need a 2-week revival. I have much. I don't need to pray more than what I'm already praying. I have much. And I don't even know why he's going that direction, because we have much. We have a quartet. We have a choir. We have a good preacher. We got enough money to keep the lights on. We have much. Soul, thou hast much. Goods laid up for many years. Matter of fact, if we don't have revival this week, we'll try again next year. We got another man coming in a few months. Our homecoming's just around the corner. And then it's going to be camp meeting. We've got enough to last us for a long time. So, thou hast much for many years. Take thine ease. Is that what you said? Whew. I don't know. Our busiest year preaching. Teresa, you can get ready to come. Honey, if you would. Our busiest year preaching. A few years ago, wasn't all that busy as some guys. I think we were gone 40-something weeks out of the year. And there's been times, Brother Jeremy, when I'd go home from revivals, maybe 4, 5, 6 revivals back to back. I'd go home. Now listen, we have church on Thursday night. We try to be there if we're home. If I'm not preaching somewhere, we try to be there. Is that all right? Anybody say amen? That is right, isn't it? But there's been a few times in my mind I said, well, you know what? I've had 6 weeks back to back. I might could just ease off a little bit. We was at a place one time and we was gone for the weekend. And we went out to eat. We saw some homeless people at a restaurant there, you know, where we were at. And we were out of state. And we were traveling. And so we asked them, where'd y'all go to church this morning? Well, it's getting quiet in here now. Where'd y'all go to church at this morning? Well, they looked down at their plate. Well, you know, we didn't go. We kind of slept in. We've been on the road traveling this, and we didn't. And we look at the world, and we don't understand how they can be so at ease. We don't understand how they can two-step their way to hell in a cesspool of sin. You know, Saturday night and not go to church Sunday. We don't understand that. And sometimes we do the same thing. It's all the same enemy. It's called ease. Come on now. That's all it is. It's called ease. It's an enemy called ease. And it's one of the most slyest things the devil is using in our holiness movement. And I'm afraid there's some of us here that are about to be overtaken. I tell you what I'd do. I'd reach out and get my coughing, choking, gagging experience. I've been hanging loosely. I'd pull it in close and say, Lord, I need a revival. I need a revival. I need a revival, Lord. It's been a long time since I prayed until I went through to the Spirit. Amen. Prayer's just been a duty, and Bible reading's just been scanning over the words, not really getting it. Going to church has just kind of been humdrum. You remember years ago, Havis Crawford preaching that message on white lines and yellow lines and bridges and curves. Amen. That humdrum. Ho-hum, I think. You know, that's exactly where we are. He was preaching against it 30 years ago, and look where we are today. Let's stand. So I said, I have much. I have so much. I don't need much. It'll last me. So take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. This is where it gets serious right here. And God said unto him, thou fool. Now, how many would think it'd be foolish for us to not take this revival serious? I mean, when we have 15 minutes taking up prayer requests, and we know the diverse needs that are among us, and the broad range of catastrophes that are among this group of people, and knowing how bad we need God to move, and knowing how close some of our people are to hell, it'd be foolish. It'd be foolish for us to take this so lightly until we just let it all slip away. We're relaxing at the wrong time. We're being at ease at the wrong time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to have revival. Lord, and I know this church is full of good people. It's here tonight. Lord, we're combating an enemy. We need you to come help us, Lord. We need you to come stand with us, Lord. We need you to help us, God. We can't do it in our own strength, Lord. We're being attacked by this spirit of ease, this carelessness that's coming over this world, has settled into the church, God. We need your help, God. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm a zero with the rim knocked off, God. I can't do anything, Lord. We got to have your help. Come to us, Lord. Stir us tonight. Give us a little bit of hanging here, God, until we'd wake up. Let us learn a lesson here tonight, God, as we look at the foolish farmer. Oh, God, let us understand it'd be a foolish thing to not pray when we got time to pray. God, it'd be a foolish thing to not have revival when we got a chance to have revival. Lord, it'd be a foolish thing for us not to worship you when we got a time to worship you, Lord. Right now, God, we've got time and opportunity. There may be a day when somebody has time and no opportunity, and they've been pushed beyond, oh, that point of no return. Help us, God, to get our heart right, to get our soul right. Help us, God, to pray through tonight in this revival. Touch that young man, God, to be the spiritual leader of his home. Help that young mother and wife, God, to be the godly example, that there might be a vintage and that there might be a gathering. Don't let the men be at ease. Don't let the women be at ease. Don't let our elders be at ease, God. Stir our youth, God, until we'd not be at ease at the wrong time. Help us in Jesus' name, God. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord.